In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I'm a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Monday, September 23rd, 2024. For our scripture readings today, we have four sections from the books Galatians, Luke, 2 Corinthians, and another section from Luke. For readings from the lives of the saints, we have the conception of the honorable, glorious prophet, forerunner, and Baptist, John. Saints Xanthippe and Polyxena of Spain, Virgin Martyr Iraeus or Raius of Alexandria, and martyrs Andrew, John, and John's children, Peter and Antonius of Syracuse, martyred in Africa. Starting with Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 through 31. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in, bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. On to Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while she was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense, when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, How shall I know this? for I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me, in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. On to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 10 through 19. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches and needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to the other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. For now the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent by your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. On to Luke chapter 4, verses 37 through 44. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, You are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was the day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him, and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And that is our scripture reading for today. On to our first reading from the lives of the saints, the conception of the honorable, glorious prophet, forerunner, and Baptist John. The holy prophet Malachi prophesied that before the Messiah's birth his forerunner would appear, and would indicate his coming. The Jews, therefore, in awaiting the Messiah, also awaited the appearance of his forerunner. In a city of the hills of Judea, in the land of Palestine, lived the righteous priest, Saint Zechariah, and his wife, Saint Elizabeth, zealously observing the commandments of the Lord. The couple, however, had a misfortune. They remained childless in their old age, and they prayed unceasingly to God to grant them a child. Once when Saint Zechariah took his turn as priest at the temple of Jerusalem, he went into the sanctuary to offer incense. Going behind the veil of the sanctuary, he beheld an angel of God standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Saint Zechariah was astonished and halted in fear. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." But Zechariah did not believe the words of the heavenly messenger. And then the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you the good news. Behold, you will be silent and be unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were astonished that he had not come out of the sanctuary after so long a time. And when he did come out, he was supposed to pronounce a blessing upon the people, but could not do so because he had been struck speechless. When Zechariah explained by gestures that he was unable to speak, the people then understood that he had experienced a vision. The prophecy of the archangel was fulfilled, and righteous Elizabeth was delivered from her barrenness and gave birth to John, the forerunner and Baptist of the Lord. On to Saints Xanthippe and Polyxena of Spain. The righteous women Xanthippe and Polyxena were sisters by birth and lived in Spain at the time of the holy apostles. They were among the first to hear the divine teaching of Christ, the Savior, from the holy apostle Paul, when he preached in their land. And that's, a reference to Romans 15:28. When Saint Xanthippe and her husband Probus converted to Christianity, but before her baptism, Saint Polyxena was abducted by a licentious man who took her to Greece on a ship. God's grace protected her, however, and did not permit her to be defiled. Moving around from place to place, Polyxena heard the preaching of the Apostle Philip in Greece. After her arrival in Greece, Polyxena turned to the Christians for protection, and they hid her in the city of Patara in Achaia. There she formally accepted Christianity and was baptized by the holy Apostle Andrew the First called. Saint Polyxena was a witness to Saint Andrew's miracles and how patiently he endured his sufferings and death. She stood by the cross upon which they crucified him. After St. Andrew's martyric death, St. Polyxena returned to Spain, taking with her the apostle Onesimus and her traveling companion Rebecca, a Jewish slave, with whom she had been baptized. There she and her older sister Xanthippe converted many pagans to Christ. St. Polyxena labored for about 40 years preaching the gospel in Spain. Saint Xanthippe shared in her sister's work and preached in the populous city of Toledo. Saint Polyxena reposed around the year 109, having preserved her virginity until the end of her earthly life. In Slavic usage, Saint Xanthippe and Polyxena are commemorated on September 24th. On to Virgin Martyr Iraeus, and they also have an alternate spelling, Rhaeus, R-H-A-I-S, Rice, of Alexandria. I think it's Rhaeus. The holy martyr Areda, and now another spelling in the body of the text. It's one of those. The holy martyr Areda lived at Alexandria. Once she went to a well to draw water, and she saw a ship at the shore. On board were a large number of men, women, clergy, and monks, all fettered in chains for their confession of the Christian faith. Casting aside her water pitcher, the saint voluntarily joined the prisoners for Christ, and fetters were placed on her too. When the ship arrived in the Egyptian city of Antipolos, Saint Areda was the first to undergo fierce torments and was beheaded with the sword. After her, the other martyrs sealed their confession of faith in Christ with their blood. And our last one, martyrs Andrew, John, and John's children, Peter and Antonius of Syracuse, martyred in Africa. The holy martyrs Andrew and John and John's children, Peter and Antonius, suffered in the 9th century in the time of the cruel African ruler Ibrahim. After the capture and destruction of the Sicilian city of Syracuse, Ibrahim captured and brought to Africa St. John and his two children, Peter and Antonius, whom he compelled to study the Arab language and sciences. When the youths had grown, Prince Ibrahim was so fond of them for their wisdom and virtuous life that he named them, that he named Antonius his kinsman and appointed Peter as his chief steward. Once he learned that the youth secretly confessed faith in Christ, however, Ibrahim flew into a furious rage, ordering them to be bound with iron shackles and beaten with knotted rods. After prolonged scourging, they put Saint Antonius on a donkey, tied him with long straps, then drove him through the city, beating and ridiculing him with abuse. The martyr endured all the insults and gave thanks to God. Saint Peter was thrown into prison after a fierce beating with rods. An order was issued to arrest John, the father of the holy martyrs. The brutal Ibrahim grabbed him by the neck with his left hand, and with his right he thrust a knife into his throat. They cast the dead body of the father, together with the bodies of his sons, into a large fire. As for St. Andrew, the torturer wore him down with hunger, and then ran him through with a spear in the chest. When the martyr prayerfully began to give thanks to God, Ibrahim ran him through a second time. As he lay dying from loss of blood, they beheaded the righteous martyr with a sword. And that is our reading for today. Thank you for tuning in, and a small note before we sign off. I will be out of town for about a week, so we will probably be restarting our recordings on October 2nd. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your patience. And looking forward to recording again next month. All glory to God. May he protect us and save us all. In the name of glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.